Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to Ummah Radio. You are listening to the Hadith class with myself, Abu Musab. So as you know, we have been doing the kitab known as Al-Shama'il al-Muhammadiyya, which is better known as Al-Shama'il al-Tirmidhi. And in our last class, we had just completed the chapter with regards to the combing of the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this week, inshallah, we will be continuing on, and this chapter will now be dealing with the emergence of the grey hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay, so just one point. In the book itself that we are currently doing this particular print, like I say, for those who don't have it, you can download it from Ummah Forum, which is www.ummah.com/forum. In the Ummah Radio section, you will see a thread called Monday Aqeedah and Hadith Class. In there, you will find a download link to the kitab. And we are using that particular print of the book itself. Now, in this particular print, we had last stopped on page 25, the end of page 25, for that was the end of the previous chapter. However, in this particular book, this particular print, when it was scanned and put together as a PDF, there was a slight error which was done. So if you look now on page 26 of the book, you'll see it starts suddenly in the middle of a hadith. When if you go right onto the bottom of the page, you'll notice that that is actually page 27 you are looking at and not page 26. Page 26 is actually page 30 in this particular PDF. So what you have to do, just open your PDF to page 30 and that will be the actual page 26 that is missing. And when I say page 30 in the PDF form and not page 30 of the kitab itself. So when you open to page 30, according to the Adobe PDF or Foxit Reader, whichever PDF you reader you use, when you turn to page 30 in there, it will take you to the correct chapter and it will be then the top of the page, the start, chapter 5, Babu ma ja'a fi shaybi Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa fihi thamaniyatu ahadith. The chapter regarding the grey hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in this chapter there are 8 ahadith. So if you see this, then you know you are on the correct page. After we complete this page, we will be moving back a couple of pages again to page 26, where the real page 27 will continue onwards. So you just have to work around this mix up in this particular PDF. So any case, without further ado, we can then continue. Bismillah walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. As you know, this kitab so far, it was dealing with the physical description of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which then moved on to the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which then went on to the next chapter, which was regarding the combing. And now this next chapter, which comes here now, deals now with the emergence of the white hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this chapter, as Imam At-Tirmidhi rahimahullah says, he reports 8 ahadith. So then, without delaying, we can start the first hadith. So he says, حدثنا محمد بن بشار أخبرنا أبو داود أخبرنا همام عن قتادة قال قلت لأنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه هل خضب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لم يبلغ ذلك إنما كان شيبا في صدغيه ولكن أبو بكر رضي الله تعالى عنه خضب بالحناء والكتم. This hadith is reported by Muhammad ibn Bashar, who reports it in turn from Abu Dawood, who reports it in turn from Hammam, who reports it from Qatada, who said, I asked Hazrat Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu, did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam dye his hair? So Hazrat Anas radiyallahu anhu, he replied and he said, it did not reach that level. Rather, it was just some whiteness at his forehead. Sudghay, as you would say in English, is by your temples. That bit of hair on the side of the head of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was only a bit of white hair over there. But the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam overall was not so grey to the extent that he would require dyeing. However, As you will see from the further ahadith which comes in this particular chapter, there will be a lot of difference of opinion. So I'll read all the ahadith and inshallah at the end of the chapter I will explain how all the different narrations fit together without there being any contradiction between them. So any case, so according to this particular hadith, Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu at this point in time, he said that the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was normal with only a little bit of whiteness at the temples, and therefore there was no need for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to have to dye. And but he says, ولكن أبو بكر رضي الله تعالى عنه خاضب بالحناء والكتم. However, Hazrat Abu Bakr رضي الله عنه, he used to dye his hair with henna and with katam. Now, henna, or henna as it's called in English, this is one particular dye, and katam is also another particular dye. Now, the colors that come about as a result of henna and katam is slightly different. Henna gives a more reddish color, while katam gives a more black texture color, while other ulama say that katam actually gives more of a green color. Now, on this particular point, if you look at the word bil henna wal katam, with henna, literally it could mean and katam, or henna, or meaning together, that he used both of them at once, meaning Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he used both henna and katam at the same time, or that he teaches, I mean that he uses henna at one time and at another point in time he uses katam. Both ways are possible. And some ulama had said that Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had done it both ways. What it means, now the ulama explained that when you mix henna and katam together, it comes out with a more thicker, stronger color. So the color that will come out will depend on how much of which particular one you add to it. If you add more henna, you will get a more reddish color, while if you add more katam, the color will become more black. Obviously now when you are mixing the henna and the katam together, it won't be the same reddish color as though you just used plain henna. And obviously when the henna is mixed with the katam, it won't be the same color as if you just used katam itself. So therefore, when you mix the two together, depending on your mixture percentages, that is what would decide which color it is. So at one point in time, it may be that the hair of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was more red, and that would be because he used more henna. And at another time, if it was more darker, it would have been because he used more katam. So the ulama explained that sometimes he would use both, and sometimes he can just use just the katam, and sometimes just the henna. Okay then, so that is the first hadith. So we move now on to the next hadith. He says, حدثنا إسحاق بن منصور ويحيى بن موسى قال حدثنا عبد الرزاق عن معمر عن ثابت عن أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه قال ما عددت في رأس رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ولحيته إلا 14 شعرة بيضاء. In this hadith, this hadith is reported by Ishaq ibn Mansur, and it's also reported by Yahya ibn Musa. Both of them narrated in turn from Abdul Razak, who reports it from Ma'mar, who reports it from Thabit, who in turn reports it from Hazrat Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu. Now as you look, the first hadith was also reported by Hazrat Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu. So this is just at another time from somebody else in turn reporting from Hazrat Anas radiyallahu anhu. So in this hadith, Hazrat Anas radiyallahu anhu, he said, I did not count in the hair and the beard of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam except 14 white strands. So that's together, the hair and the beard together of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. According to Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu, in this hadith there were only 14 strands. Now you will find in various other hadith that they are mentioned sometimes 14, sometimes 20, sometimes 16, sometimes 18, sometimes various different numbers. And sometimes you'll find a sahaba who's saying that there wasn't really any white hair. So this, the ulama explained that it was, as you can say, all at different points in time. Obviously, the white hair don't pop up overnight, but rather it comes at one, over the years. So today one person may see you and see 10 strands. Next week somebody else sees you and he sees there's 11 strands. So that explains why one Sahabi said there was this amount and another Sahabi said it was a different amount, that is one reason. Another thing which will come in the in a later hadith here, so I'll just give it now one time, is that the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to use a lot of oil, as we had done previously. However, when you use oil, then it covers. Obviously, when your hair is oily, covered with the oil, your hair becomes slick. It sticks together. So, if there's a white strand here and there, it gets covered by the other strands, so that can explain why certain Sahaba said that it was maybe one, two, so few strands, barely anything really noticeable. It was because they saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at this particular time. So, therefore, there is no contradiction or any problem here when one Sahabi says it was this amount and another Sahabi says it was that amount and anything, all that sort of stuff. And we'll come on now later on with other ahadith with regards to whether Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually dyed his hair or not. So anyway, that according to this hadith, Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu, he said that the hair and beard of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam together only amounted to 14 white strands. We move on to the next hadith. As you can see, this is hadith number 38 in this particular print, and we are just about coming to the end of page 26, and which will now be page 30 according to your PDF reader. So just remember, I'll just read the first part. He says, حدثنا محمد بن المثنى أخبرنا أبو داود حدثنا شعبة عن سماك ابن, and there by Ibn, his name will continue on, but now obviously you will not go on to the next page, because like I say, this page was put in the wrong place. So we will go all the way back to page 26, which will be the real page 27. So when you are back on page 26 according to your PDF, that will be the continuation. So his name was Simak ibn, and we know this person, he is Simak ibn Harb, a very famous narrator of hadith. So عن سماك بن حرب قال سمعت جابر بن سمرة رضي الله عنه وقد سئل عن شيب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال كان إذا دهن رأسه لم يرى منه شيب وإذا لم يدهن رؤي منه شيء. This hadith is reported by Muhammad ibn al-Muthanna, who reports it from Abu Dawood, who reports it in turn from Shu'bah, who reports it from Simak ibn Harb, who said that I heard Hazrat Jabir ibn Samurah radiyallahu anhu, when he was asked regarding the white hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He replied and said, كان إذا دهن رأسه لم يرى منه شيء. That when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to oil his hair, no whiteness could be seen. وَإِذَا لَمْ يَدْهِنْ رُؤِيَ مِنْهُ. While when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not oil his hair, then only would you see the white hair. Now this was just something I just commented on one moment ago. So, as you can see, according to Hazrat Jabir ibn Samurah radiyallahu anhu, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to oil his hair and the blackness would cover the whiteness, then the people who saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at that particular time would say that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not have any grey hair or white hair for that matter. However, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not oil his hair for that particular time or that particular day, and the other Sahaba now came and they saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then in this case they would have noticed the white hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, we move on to the next hadith. He says, حدثنا محمد بن عمرو بن الوليد الكندي الكوفي حدثنا يحيى بن آدم عن شريك عن عبيد الله بن عمر عن نافع عن عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنهما قال إنما كان شيب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نحو من 20 شعرة بيضاء. This hadith is reported by Muhammad ibn Amr ibn al-Walid al-Kindi al-Kufi, who in turn reports it from Yahya ibn Adam, who reports it from Shariq, who reports it from Ubaidullah ibn Umar, who reports it from Nafi', the freed slave of Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, who in turn reports it from Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, who said that indeed the white hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was equivalent to about 20 white strands. This is a typing error here where it says sha'arahu instead of sha'aratan, it's a tamarbuta, just the two dots are missing. So it's nahwa min 20 sha'aratan bayda, that the white hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was just about 20 white strands. Now, if you look at this one in the first hadith we did of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, you see the difference. One say 14, one say 20. So, like I said, the ulama explained that this was at different stages in time. One saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam this time, another one saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam at another time, or alternatively, because it's a couple of strands, so few, it's possible that one Sahabi may have counted less strands than what there actually was. So he said, for example, there were 16 strands, while in fact there were maybe 18. So the ulama say that's also another possible theory why that you find this different numbers according to the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. But all of them are possible. Some, like I say, it could be at different periods in time. Could be the oil was beginning to dry out, so certain strands were still covered and others were open. Could be like this, one only saw partially the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so he only saw certain strands. So there is a number of explanations that can explain this, so there is no contradiction between any of this. Okay, so we move on to the next hadith. He says, حدثنا أبو كريب محمد بن العلاء حدثنا معاوية بن هشام عن شيبان عن أبي إسحاق عن عكرمة عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما قال قال أبو بكر يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قد شبت قال شيبتني هود والواقعة والمرسلات وعما يتساءلون وإذا الشمس كورت. This hadith is reported by Abu Kurayb, whose name is Muhammad ibn al-Ala, who reports it in turn from Muawiyah ibn Hisham, who reports it from Shayban, who reports it from Abu Ishaq, who reports it from Ikrimah. And Ikrimah, he was a very famous student of Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma. So he reports Ikrimah, he reports it from Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, who said that Hazrat Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu, he saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, qad shibta, you have become grey, your hair has turned white. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied and said, شَيَّبَتْنِي هُودٌ وَالْوَاقِعَةُ وَالْمُرْسَلَاتُ وَعَمَّا يَتَسَاءَلُونَ وَإِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَاتُ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied and said that Surah Hud, Surah Waqi'ah, Surah Al-Mursalat, Surah عَمَّا يَتَسَاءَلُونَ, which is Surah Naba, and Surah إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَاتُ, these surahs, they have turned my hair white. So now, there's a, as you can say, a bit of the background behind this. There's another narration which mentions that the Sahaba, for example, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he had seen Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam just slightly earlier, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not have the white hair. Then the revelation came down, and it was the portions from these particular surahs, and when he saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam after the revelation of these ayat, then this incident took place where Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, your hair has turned white. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained that it was because of these surahs of the Quran that the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam turned white. Now these surahs here, they contain, as you can say, those matters of the year after. Things when Allah speaks about those things which will happen in the year after, the punishment, the terrors of the day of Qiyamah and things, it's enough to turn the hair of a child grey. So, therefore, although these things, obviously, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was protected from all these calamities and the fear of the year after and all these sort of fear of the day of judgment and all these sort of things. However, the concern of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was still there for us, and the fact that these things itself were so terrifying that it caused the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to turn white. And like I say, this is the punishment of, as you can say, the punishments of Jahannam, the punishments of the year after, the difficulties, the terror all these sort of things, which all that happens in the year after. This is what were contained in these various surahs of the Quran, or it just could be the heaviness of the surahs itself that caused the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to turn white in this manner. The next hadith is very similar, so we continue on to the next hadith. He says, حدثنا سفيان بن وكيع قال حدثنا محمد بن محمد بن بشر. This is not Muhammad ibn Bashar, this is somebody else, this is Muhammad ibn Bishr, who reported in turn from Muhammad ibn Bishr عن علي بن صالح عن أبي إسحاق عن أبي جحيفة رضي الله عنه قالوا يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نراك قد شبت قال قد شيبتني هود وأخواتها. This hadith is reported by Sufyan ibn Waqi', who reported in turn from Muhammad ibn Bishr, who reported from Ali ibn Salih, who reported from Abu Ishaq, who reported from Hazrat Abu Juhayfa radiyallahu anhu. Now Hazrat Abu Juhayfa radiyallahu anhu, he was sitting with the other gathering of Sahaba radiyallahu anhu at this particular time. Again, it was also after these certain surah were revealed. And then Hazrat Abu Juhayfa radiyallahu anhu, he said, meaning this gathering of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, after they had seen that the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had changed color in this manner, we said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we see that your hair has turned white. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, قَدْ شَيَّبَتْنِي هُودٌ وَأَخَوَاتُهَا, that Surah Hud and its sisters has turned my hair white. Now its sisters are the same surahs which were just mentioned now in the previous hadith, Surah Waqi'ah, Surah Mursalat, Surah Amma Yatasa'alun, and Surah Ash-Shams al-Kuwirat. So this could be on the same occasion, or it could be have taken place at a different occasion, that other Sahaba now also saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's hair had turned white, and therefore they made the same comment. Now when this hadith here and the one previously say that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's hair turned white, this does not mean that all of the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had turned white. It just simply means that there was perhaps no white strands the day before, and now suddenly there are a couple of white strands. So this is what is being meant. Not that, as you can say, a person's entire hair turned white. No, that's not what is being meant here. So according to this hadith and the one previously, that as a result of the revelation of these particular surahs, the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had turned white. We move on to the next hadith, which is حَدَّثَنَا عَلِيُّ بْنُ حُجْرٍ قَالَ أَنْبَأَنَا شُعَيْبُ بْنُ صَفْوَانَ عَنْ عَبْدِ الْمَلِكِ بْنِ عُمَيْرٍ عَنْ إِيَادِ بْنِ لَقِيطٍ الْعِجْلِ عَنْ أَبِي رِمْثَةَ التَّيْمِ تيم الرباب قال أتيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ومعي ابن لي قال فأريته فقلت لما رأيته هذا نبي الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعليه ثوبان أخضران وله شعر قد علاه الشيب وشيبه أحمر. This hadith is reported by Ali ibn Hujr, who in turn reports it from Shu'ayb ibn Safwan, who reported from Abd al-Malik ibn Umayr, who reported from Iyad ibn Laqit al-Ajli, who reported from Abu Rimtha al-Taymi, who is Taymi al-Rabab, from that particular people. He said, I came, radiyallahu anhu, Hazrat Abu Rimtha radiyallahu anhu, he said, I came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam and I had my son with me. فَأَرَيْتُهُ. Okay, so what is taking place at this particular period in time is that, as the ulama explained, that Hazrat Abu Rimtha radiyallahu anhu, he had not seen Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam yet. That is why, possibly, not definite, but it's possible that he had not seen Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam yet when this incident took place. So he came with his son to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he looked, qala fa'araytuhu, I was looking for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Faqultu lamma ra'aytuhu, so I said when I saw him. So he was looking around that way is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when his eyes fell on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and suddenly he said that indeed this is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when he saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was wearing two green cloths, and his hair was there was some whiteness in it, and the whiteness was red. Couple of points in this hadith here. Like I say, the ulama say that it's possible, not definite, but it's possible that Hazrat Abu Rimsa radiallahu anhu at this particular time had not known Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam as of yet. So that would explain why he was looking for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Another thing is that he say, when I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I suddenly uttered the words that definitely this is the messenger of Allah. Now, the ulama explain on this particular point here that the ra'b, the awe and the majesty of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was such that when a person saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam for the first time, he would be awestruck. And this is something we passed previously in one of the other chapters of this very same kitab itself. So this would make perfect sense then that it was the first time he saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and that is why without anyone actually telling him, he knew, this word suddenly just came to his mouth that definitely this is the messenger of Allah. That just from the awe that was emanating from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he could tell that this was indeed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So that's on that point there itself. Otherwise it's possible he could have known Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam previously, but still that awe was still there in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So it, despite that, it could, the awe was still so much that it could strike him to make the statement that while he was looking in the crowd for where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was, he saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the awe still hit him that he made the statement and said, you know, there can be no doubt that definitely this is the true messenger from Allah. So it can be taken in both ways. Allahu a'lam which one it actually is. Both of them make sense and both can fit in what the context, or rather I should say the text of the hadith itself. Now in any case, now we move on to the next part of the hadith. He say that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was wearing two green pieces of cloth. And we move on now to the next piece, which he says that the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam qad alahu shayb, that the whiteness was on the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, meaning you could see the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was black, but there were now the signs of old age that there was now the white hair was noticeable, and he says this white hair was red. Now, although I said I was going to explain all of this at the ending of the chapter, let me mention it here now one time. On this particular point, the ulama make a comment. They say that all on this debate, did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam actually dye his hair, yes or no? Big debate, because as you would find some sahaba saying yes, some sahaba saying no. So in this particular hadith, nothing definite is said. All that is said is that the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was red. This grey hair was red. Now, the one explanation some ulama give, they say that when your hair turns from, as you can say, from black now to turning to white, it first becomes so reddish. So this is actually what Hazrat Abu Rimsa radiallahu anhu was describing, that the head of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which was turning white, was red. From, as you can say, this change from black to pure white, it passes through the stage of redness. So this is what is being meant, and not actually that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had used red dye. But any case, like I say, it's a debate amongst the ulama, because there are differing narrations. So other sahaba had said that yes, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had used dye. So therefore you'll find this difference of opinion. And then this hadith, those same ulama would use to say that when Hadrat Abu Rimsa radiallahu anhu said he saw that the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was red, it was now referring to redness from the dye and not redness from changing from black to white. So both ways again are possible. So we leave it at that. last hadith of this particular chapter. So we can just continue on. He says, حدثنا أحمد بن منيع حدثنا سريج بن النعمان حدثنا حماد بن سلمة عن سماك بن حرب قال قيل لجابر بن سمرة رضي الله عنه أكان في رأس رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم شيب؟ قال لم يكن في رأس رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم شيب إلا شعرات في مفرق رأسه إذا دهن وراهن الدهن. This hadith is reported by Ahmad ibn Mani', who reports it in turn from Suraj ibn Nu'man, who reports it in turn from Hamad ibn Salama, who reports it in turn from Simak ibn Harb, who said that it was said, or rather asked, from Hadrat Jabir ibn Samura radiallahu anhu, that were there any white hair on the head of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So Hadrat Samura, Hadrat Jabir radiallahu anhu, he responded and he said that there was no white hair really to talk about on the head of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, illa sha'aratun, except a couple of strands, fi mifraqi ra'asihi, in the center, the middle path of the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just a few strands here and there, not, as you can say, a big white patch or anything of the sort like that, nothing of that sort, just a few strands of hair. And إذا دهنا وراه الدهن, that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to use oil, the oil would hide those hairs. So as you can see, it's just a couple of strands in the center of the head of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So just by the mere application of the oil, the rest of the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would cover these strands. So this is the one explanation, like I explained in the beginning, of how the ulama explained why there is this apparent contradiction, which is in fact not any contradiction at all. So that is the end of the chapter with regards to the emergence of the grey hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The next chapter is very much interlinked and it only has four hadith, so therefore inshallah we will continue on and finish the next chapter as well. So we move on to the sixth chapter, which is Babu ma ja'a fi khidab Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wasallam wa fi arba'atu ahadith. The chapter with regards to the dyeing of the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and in this chapter there are four ahadith. So we move on to the first hadith, which is حدثنا أحمد بن منيع حدثنا هشيم حدثنا عبد الملك بن عمير عن إياد بن لقيط قال أخبرني أبو رمثة قال أتيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مع ابن لي فقال ابنك هذا؟ فقلت نعم أشهد به. قال لا يجني عليك ولا تجني عليه. قال ورأيت الشيب أحمر. The hadith itself ends there, but there's an extra piece, so we move on to the next page and just read that first. قال أبو عيسى هذا أحسن شيء روي في هذا الباب وأفسر لأن الروايات الصحيحة أنه صلى الله عليه وسلم لم يبلغ شيب وأبو رمثة اسمه رفاعة ابن يثرب التيمي. So this hadith, the first hadith of this particular chapter, it's reported by Ahmad ibn Mani', who reports from Hushaym, who reports it from Abdul Malik ibn Umair, who reports it from Iyad ibn Laqit, who says that Hazrat Abu Rimsa radiallahu anhu, he told me that I came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was my son. Now this is the same as the hadith which had just previously passed by, also reported by Hazrat Abu Rimsa radiallahu anhu. So yeah, this gives you a little bit more information about the actual story. Previously, the previous hadith had just told us that he saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Here we find that he actually came up to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his son. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, is this your son? So he said, I replied, yes, I bear witness to it. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a statement and said, لا يجني عليك ولا تجني عليه, that you will not be, as you can say, punished as a result of him, nor will he be punished for your sake. Now, I'll explain this in a moment. He says, and I saw the white hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being red. Now, let me just read the last piece. This Abu Isa, the Imam At-Tirmidhi rahimahullah, he says that this is the best narration which has been narrated in this particular chapter. Wa afsaru, and also the most, one with the most explanation. Because the authentic narrations is that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not actually become, reach the age of whiteness. And Hadrat Abu Rimsa radiyallahu anhu, his name is Rifa'a ibn Yathribi At-Taymi. This is now the opinion of Imam At-Tirmidhi rahimahullah. He says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not reach the age where the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam actually turned white, but rather it was turning white, and so therefore it was, as you can say like this, red. So this is one opinion. Other ulama say no, it was actually red. I mean, it was actually white and was dyed red. So that's just one point there. Now coming back to the hadith itself, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that لا يجني عليك ولا تجني علي, this jinaya, this punishment for the crime of the father or the crime of the son, this was something which was done in the days of Jahiliyyah, that if your father did something, they would punish the son. Or if the son did something, they would punish the father. But in Islam, no person is punished for the crime of another. If the father commits a crime, only the father will be punished. If the son commits a crime, only he will be punished. You can't say, okay, your son stole, so I'll chop off the hand of the father. That don't work like that in the Sharia. No, if the father steals, will you cut off the hand of the son. So only the criminal himself will be punished, and you cannot punish anybody else on his behalf. Okay, this is now off topic entirely, but perhaps some people may have heard the story, some may not have heard the story. This is a story which has been going around. It speaks about during the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, that there was a person who, a couple of people brought a youth in the court of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu and said that we want qisas, we want retribution from this man here because he had killed our father. And then Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu asked him about it, and he said that I was looking after goats and camels, and then one camel went to go and eat by this particular tree, and then this man, this their father, he came and he killed my camel. So then I took hitting him with a stone, so I threw him with a stone in turn, and then he suddenly died. So now this is what has transpired. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu said, okay, then in that case I'm going to put you to death. And then long story, he said, give me some time, I need to sort out some money and things for my family, my mother and sisters and things. Then Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu asked him for someone to stand in his place as a representative, and then nobody wanted to. Till Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, he stood up and said, I will represent, take the place of this person. And then he was sent away, and long story short comes through at the ending, the youngster came back, and Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu asked him that, why did you come back when you knew you could have just run away? So he then said that, I wouldn't want it to be said that that a Muslim ran away on his word. And then Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu anhu was asked, because now when he came back, time was just about up, and supposedly Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu anhu was to be put to death. And then when Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu anhu was asked, he said that why did you stand in his place? He said that, I wouldn't want it to be said that a Muslim was in need and no one was there to see to his needs. And then the people, the sons of this man, they felt remorse, and they said, and we forgive the youth because we now don't want it to be said that this sort of thing took place, and there was no forgiveness in the hearts of the people. Wallahu a'lam, exactly the words exactly eludes me at this particular moment. Anyway, now on this point itself, to put it in a simple nutshell, the story is totally false, it's batil, it's lies, it's a fabrication, there's no basis to it whatsoever due to a number of lies. One is that today, that you have different four types of killing in the Sharia. You have qatl amd, which is intentional killing. You have shibhul amd, which is it resembles an intentional kill. And then you have qatl khata, which is a mistaken kill. And then qatl bisabab, which is someone dies as a result of your action. Okay, that's all I can explain in the fiqh class, inshallah. It's just that this story itself was a bit linked to this particular point that لا يجني عليك ولا تجني علي, that one son being killed for the father or the father for the son. So in this case, Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu anhu was supposed to be killed for the supposed crime of this youth. So the one point was that he threw him with a stone. People normally are not killed by being thrown with a stone. So this is what is termed as Shibul Amd. It's similar rather to an intentional kill. And this case you don't have Qisas, you have Diyya. Because you didn't mean to kill him, it just resembles as though you meant to kill him. So that's the first point. Second point is that وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةُ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى. No person bears the burden of another. So no person stands as a guarantee that, okay, if you don't turn up, I will be killed. This has no place in the Sharia. So it was for this point here that they brought the story actually in. So on this point here, this was just to reject one of the customs of Jahiliyyah that if the son did something, the father would be punished, or the father did something, the son would be punished. In the Sharia, no such thing like this exists. That was all just a little bit off topic. So, coming back to the hadith itself, he had finished off by saying that, I saw the white hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam being red. Now, like I explained, those ulama who say that it was black hair which was turning white and therefore it was red, and some ulama say it was black hair which turned already white and was dyed red. But you will see now from the next following hadith as to what the other narrations are. So moving on to the next hadith. This is reported by, he says, حدثنا سفيان بن وكيع قال حدثنا أبي عن شريك عن عثمان بن موهب قال سئل أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه هل خضب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال نعم. This hadith is reported by Sufyan ibn Waqi', who reports it in turn from his father, who reports it from Shariq, who reports it from Uthman ibn Mawhab, who said that Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu was asked, did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam dye his hair? And Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu replied and said yes. So you can see this already from the previous hadith which mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not yet reach that stage of actually dyeing his hair. Here we see the hadith which comes straight out and says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam dyed his hair. It continues on, قال أبو عيسى وروى أبو عوانة هذا الحديث عن عثمان بن عبد الله بن موهب فقال عن أم سلمة. This is just a little bit off topic. He says, Imam At-Tirmidhi rahimahullah, he says that Abu Awana also reported this hadith from Uthman ibn Abdullah ibn Mawhab, and he's narrated it from Hazrat Ummi Salama radiyallahu anha. So that's just more to do with the sanad of the hadith and not the text of the hadith itself. Moving on to the next hadith, we can explain everything all in conclusion. So the next hadith is حدثنا إبراهيم بن هارون قال أنبأنا النضر بن زرارة عن أبي جناب عن إياد بن لقيط عن الجهذمة امرأة بشير بن الخصاصية قالت أنا رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يخرج من بيته ينفض رأسه وقد اغتسل وبرأسه ردغ من حناء أو قال ردع شك في هذا الشيخ. In this hadith is reported by Ibrahim ibn Harun, who reports it in turn from An-Nadr ibn Zurara, who reports it from Abu Janab, who reports it from Iyad ibn Laqid, who reports it from Al-Jahdama. Now Al-Jahdama, if you look at the four next to it, there's another wording of this. He says Al-Jahdama Dahraja Sahabiya, is a female Sahabiya that whose name Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam changed. غَيَّرَ النَّبِيُّ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam إِسْمَهَا فَسَمَّاهَا لَيْلَى. So her name was Jahdama, but then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam changed it to Layla. Now, Jahdama is one way you're saying the name. You'll find in another manuscript of Ash-Shamail al-Tirmidhi, the name is written as Jahdama instead of Jahdama, a dal in place of the dal. So basically, just that nukta, the dot to make it from a dal into a dal, that one is just missing. So therefore you'd find some places it's written as Jahdama and some as Jahdama. Now, it says from Jahdama, who is the wife of Hazrat Bashir ibn al-Khasasiyya. And again, the five of over here, that's just gives al-Khasasiyya, Mithla Karahiyya, which is al-Khasasiyya was the name of his mother and not the name of his, as you can say, his father. Now, this is from Khasasa ibn Amr ibn Ka'b. That's just more to do with the lineage. So, any case, we don't have to go too deep into that. Like, if you see many times in the kitab, you'll find the footnotes, and these footnotes normally are quite beneficial because it will give you differing views. Some ulama say this, some ulama say that, or some history behind the person, maybe a small biography, small things like that, explanation of particular hard words, all that sort of stuff. So if you can understand Arabic, well and good, alhamdulillah, to read these footnotes, you can benefit from it. Any case, to have to explain each and every footnote may take lengthy time, so therefore we have been skipping the footnotes so far. Any case, now, she now said that I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam exiting from his house while rubbing his hair. يَنْفُضُ رَأَسَهُ. This is that, okay, it explains in the next word when he said وَقَدْ اِخْتَسَلَ, that, and he had taken a ghusl, he had, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had bathed and then came out from his house. Now, this explains this yanfudu. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's hair was wet, and he was rubbing his hair to get the water out. This is what it means here, that yanfudu ra'asahu. And then she mentions something, and she says wa bi ra'si radghun, and there were radghun or radu'un, both is have the same meaning. So she says, and there were radu'un and radghun, both it means the same thing, which is signs. Effects. وَبِرَأْسِ رَدْغٌ مِنْ حِنَّا, and there were signs of hina on the head of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, meaning on the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now here, وَبِرَأْسِ رَدْغٌ مِنْ حِنَاءٍ أَوْ قَالَ رَدْعٌ, whether it's رَدْعٌ or رَدْغٌ, this is, as you say, شَكَّ فِي هَذَا الشَّيْخ, the Shaykh, meaning Shaykh Ibrahim ibn Harun, he had a doubt as to whether it was رَدْغٌ or رَدْعٌ. So therefore, this is just a doubt, and it's not actual the actual text of the hadith itself. I was either radhun or radu'un, but Shaykh Ibrahim ibn Harun, he just was doubting which word exactly was used. Any case, like I say, radhun and radu'un both means quite the same. One means, as you can say, the sign, the effect, and radu'un is more like a deep stain, which is also basically boils down to the same thing, that in both words what it means is that she saw that the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had been dyed with hina. That's basically what it comes down to. So we move on to the last hadith of this particular chapter, which is حدثنا عبد الله بن عبد الرحمن حدثنا عمرو بن عاصم حدثنا حماد بن سلمة حدثنا حميد عن أنس رضي الله عنه قال رأيت شعر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مخضوبا. That قال حماد وأخبرنا عبد الله بن محمد بن عقيل قال رأيت شعر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عند أنس بن مالك مخضوبا. So let me read this hadith. He says, it is reported by Abdullah ibn Abd al-Rahman, who reported from Amr ibn Asim, who reported from Hamad ibn Salama, who reported from Humayd, who in turn reported from Hazrat Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu. And he says that I saw the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam I saw the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as dyed. Now, that's where the hadith itself ends. From here, قال حماد, now the comments, which is separate to what the hadith. So Hamad said, we have also been informed by Abdullah ibn Muhammad ibn Aqil, who said that I saw the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam by Hazrat Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu, and it was dyed. So Hazrat Anas radiyallahu anhu, he kept some of the strands of hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and when Abdullah ibn Muhammad ibn Aqil, when he had come and heard this hadith from Hazrat Anas radiyallahu anhu, then he was shown the hair itself, and he saw that the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was dyed red.
So as you can see and tell from this hadith which is passed, there were some Sahaba who said that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam dyed his hair. There were others who said that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't dye his hair. All of it comes down to, like I explained right in the beginning, that different Sahaba, different times, different explanations that there are for this seeming contradiction. Either it was, like the, some ulama say, that it was black turning to white and therefore it was red and not actual dyed, or there were certain strands which were actually dyed and therefore, as the Sahaba say, that it was dyed, or they could have assumed it was dyed as a result of it looking red because it looked as though it was dyed and they did not actually see the dyeing process itself. So that the ulama say that it's possible it could have been this way, it could have been that way. You have Sahaba holding both views. Wallahu a'lam on what the actual reality was. You find Sahaba differing, so the imam who followed them, they also had a difference of opinion as to what the reality was. So therefore we say Allahu a'lam, we don't know what the actual reality, whether Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam really did use dye or not. As far as we know, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had red strands of hair. Whether that was red from black hair turning white, or whether it was red from being dyed, that much we do not know. So then, on that point, that ends now this chapter with regards to the dyeing of the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And inshallah, on this point here, we will end for now. So until the next time, we will end here and we say wasallallahu wasallama wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad subhanallahi wa bihamdihi subhanaka allahumma wa bihamdik nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.